From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this privilege, this opportunity. I pray the Lord you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives. Let us not leave this service the same as we joined. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful. We've been having wonderful Tuesday evening services. Greenside is what we call it. And, from tonight, I decided to just bring it out here so that all of you can join. I've been preaching from seven great principles. And for those who are very familiar with Dag Howard Mills, you will know that Dag Howard Mills has great books, very, very extensive on church work, Christian life, pastoral ministry, or any aspect of ministry you are interested in. You find a book, a message, or a video in the ministry of Dag Howard Mills. You can go to www.daghewardmills.org. So we've been learning in church in this pandemic season about seven great principles. And I want to start from the Gospel according to St. John. The Gospel according to St. John. John chapter 3. Let's just start from there before we move on. We actually had the final principle, which is the seventh principle. But I just want to start from John chapter 3 and from verse 1. The Bible says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus, Bible says he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a rabbi. No, he was a teacher. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, so Nicodemus now actually introduces us to a lot of ignorance about salvation. Nicodemus introduces us to the fact that many people do not understand the principle of salvation. The concept of salvation, when somebody is saved, what actually happens? What has actually happened? And then what are the things that are happening? You know, and so we're taking our time to study seven great principles of salvation. So Jesus went on to say that, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. When we say that this is a baby in the flesh, it's a baby in the flesh. He says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It means that when we talk about physical things, they are very, very different from spiritual things. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so he says in verse 7 of John chapter 3, Jesus said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So let's look at this. Nicodemus was not a little boy. Nicodemus was not ignorant. Nicodemus was not somebody who didn't know about the church world. And I'm sure there are so many people who profess Christianity, who think they are Christians and believe they are Christians, but do not understand the basic principles of salvation. The Bible says Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. In actual fact, you can actually see Nicodemus in our modern times as probably an elder of the church. He was probably a deacon, a member of the church board, and who was very, very prominent in the church in those days. But there was something simple about being born again that Nicodemus did not understand. And therefore, taking the church through this beautiful book, Seven Great Principles by Dagwood Mills. The first principle for those of us who know, says that man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. That's the first principle. So everybody is a spirit, and everybody has a soul, and everybody lives in a body. That is what it is. You know, so you are, what you are looking at on Facebook Live is my body. My spirit, my real self is a spirit. One day when I die, my spirit will leave my body. And so that which we actually take to the cemetery, if you go to, you know, those of us in Guyana, La Repentaire, you know, Cemetery Road, if you go there, those that are there, that is the body part of people. The spirit has left the body and the spirit has gone. So man, every man, wherever you are, whoever you are, is a spirit. Bible said that God formed man out of the dust of the earth and he breathed into man and man became a living soul. So man is a spirit. You are not physical. Many people take care of their bodies. Many people take care of their souls. Many people take care of their emotions. But the real you is a spirit. Bible says God is the father of all spirits. So you are a spirit. You have a soul. That means you have a mind. You have a will. You have emotions. You get it. You have a will. You decide what to do. You decide to actually tune in. You can actually decide to just, you know, don't tune in. You can actually, you know, close your phone or close your, shut your iPad or whatever you're using at the moment. And so you have your mind, you have your will, and then you have your emotions. It's your emotions that, you know, you feel, you know, all the things that, you know, we have in life, feelings and all kind of things. So you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. That's the first principle of salvation. Now, the second principle, we've done that in church. We are on the seventh. I'm just kind of trying to rush through so that those who join us, those who don't know about this, will kind of also follow. The second principle, the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. It means that when somebody's spirit, when somebody's unsaved, his spirit is dead. Remember, God told Adam and Eve that from the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree, you shall die. Even though Adam and Eve ate the apple, the Bible says they ate, their eyes were open, but they didn't die physically. So when somebody is not saved, their spirit is dead and they are desperately wicked. You cannot imagine the things that people who are not saved can do. I mean, people who are not saved kill. People who are not saved do all kinds of bad things. All the crime, most of all the bad things that happen in this world are people whose spirits are not regenerated. People who are not born again. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead. Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And therefore, all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you are a sinner, or if you are a sinner, it means that your spirit is dead. And your spirit is wicked. And therefore, when you are a Christian, you have to be careful how you relate with people who are not saved. Many Christians don't make a difference between those who are saved and those who are not saved. In fact, many Christians have best friends who are not saved. Many Christians actually are connected, are in deep relationships with people who are not saved. Most of the time, you see people who kind of marry a Christian and he's getting married to an unbeliever. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead. And so if you understand the principles of salvation, you know who to choose. Bible says that light has nothing to do with darkness. And therefore, these principles and the scripture must guide you when it comes to your choices in the Christian faith. The third principle is that the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. I mean, the spirit that God gives a human being is righteous and truly holy. The things that people who are saved do, they don't do it because of the spirit that God has given to them. They do it because of their souls and their minds, their will, their emotions, and their flesh. When you become a Christian, what happens is that your spirit is new, but there are so many things about you that are not new. And therefore, the contention and the contest and the race of this Christian life is going to be between your spirit your soul, and then your body. So the spirit of the saved man is righteous and truly holy. The principle number four says that after you are born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow. After you are born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow. You see, when you become a born again Christian, when you give your life to Christ, what happens is that the Bible says that as newborn babes, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says that as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And therefore, when you are born again, you are a baby. When you give your life to Christ, you are a baby. You must grow. You must grow. If you don't grow as a Christian, what happens is that you die. You can actually lose your Christian life. You must grow as a Christian. And so after you're born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow. You see, when you give birth to a child, nobody will want a child who doesn't grow. I mean, if you go to the labor ward and you give birth, you push out this wonderful baby of yours. And then you bring the baby home, excitement, baby dedication, naming ceremony, you know, everybody's happy with you and all of that. You're enjoying life. And then 6 months, a baby can't open his or her eyes. 1 year, baby is not even sitting down. 2 years, baby is not walking. 3 years, baby can't walk, can't talk. I am sure each and every one of us who has such a baby will become alarmed. Because you run helter-skelter. You know, some of you will probably go and see some juju men and some people. You will probably find out who is after your baby and which demon and which devil is actually on your destiny and on your life. And that is what happens to many Christians also. People give their lives to Christ and they don't grow. They don't grow. They don't know anything about the Bible. They can't pray. They can't memorize scriptures. They can't say anything about their faith to anybody. You must grow. And you grow from a baby stage to a child stage and to an adult stage. The Bible outlines all of these things. We went through all of that. I don't want to go through that tonight. And the Bible says that as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word. And then the Bible says that, you know, we should not be like children, tossed to and fro by every slate of doctrine. So you're a baby, you move from a baby to a child, and then from a child to an adult. Hebrews talks about those who by exercise of their senses can discern between both good and evil. You're matured. That is it. So that's the fourth principle. The fifth principle says that after you are saved, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. The mind is a major, major enemy to many, many people, including Christians. And so after you are saved, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. You know, sometimes when you become a Christian, you struggle with so many things. You go to church and you question things. You go to church and you ask why. You ask why in life. Because so many people don't want to renew their minds. I mean, many people come to church, they come to the church world, and they still have problem with money. They come to the church world, they still have problem with people. They come to the church world, they still have problems with things. I mean, you can imagine becoming a Christian and then you cannot accept somebody who is not of your color or of your race. I mean, it's amazing. Many people become Christians and they don't renew their mind. Because what happens when somebody is born again is something that happens in your spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus that which is born of the spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And therefore, there are so many things in the flesh that the spirit must force to overcome. I was just making this analogy. I was saying that, you know, when you are born again, your spirit is new. Now, imagine when your spirit becomes new. You have a new spirit. You have an old flesh. And you have an old soul. So like three people. Imagine having three people together in a room. One is called spirit. One is called soul. One is called body. And now, the body and the soul, they have been around for a while. They have been in this world for a while. And therefore, this new guy called spirit, this new boy called spirit, now comes in and says, I want to fast. And then you see the flesh, you say, you want to what? You want to what? That's how many people, many Christians struggle with fasting. Many Christians struggle with praying. Many Christians struggle with sitting down and reading and studying the Bible. Because the body who has been around for so many years is not used to certain things that the spirit wants to start doing. And even in our setting, if you have a child, most of the time, you know, when you're a baby, when you're a child, when you're young, people don't take you serious, isn't it? You know, when Job had his three friends who were trying to speak to him when he was going through his a dilemma, the trial that God gave permission for the devil to try him. Job was going through it. He had three friends. One of them was very young, and he felt he couldn't say anything because the two other friends were older. They were more matured. They were experienced in life. You get it. So the younger friend felt he couldn't say anything. Man, that is what it is. When you are young, when you're a baby, when you're a child, when you're a youth, you are not taken serious. It's the same way with your spirit also. That when your spirit is new, your flesh is old, your soul is old. I mean, some of you, what is in your mind is old. And some of the things that sometimes we experience in this country we live in, Guyana, is that, you know, when you suggest some new things, people say, oh, no, this is Guyana. This is Guyana, you know. And I find that very amazing when people make those statements, because these are minds that are so old around that cannot learn new things. And so after you are saved, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. The sixth principle, we did that last week, Tuesday. After you are saved, your body is still the same. You must keep it under control. Remember, the spirit is new. The body is not new. The soul is not new. So after you are saved, your body, your flesh likes the things that it likes. Your body still enjoys the things that the body does. That's why many people are amazed when they see Christians do bad things, when they see Christians sinning, when they see Christians doing things that are not, you know, supposed to be Christian. Many people are put off. Many people even say, I don't want to go to church because of how people in the church behave. But you see, you don't understand the principles of salvation. That's why you get offended. I mean, as long as people are born again and they are babies, it will take a while before they become adults. I mean, how do you expect a baby to get up when the baby wants to urinate, to get up and go to the bathroom and then take off his whatever you got, a bob talk or whatever, and then urinate in the water closet, in the toilet bowl? How do you expect a six-month-old baby to behave like that? How do you expect a five-year-old baby, a five-year-old boy, a five-year-old girl to go to work and bring money home? And that's what it is. There are many Christians in churches who don't do anything. I mean, if you're a pastor, you agree with what I'm saying. There are many people in our churches who don't do anything. I know churches where the pastor does the MC, the pastor opens the door to the church, the pastor and his wife sweeps the church. I mean, they arrange the chairs, the church members come and they sit down, and they sit down and sleep. They don't participate. The pastor plays the keyboard, he plays the drums, he does the preaching, he sweats with his big towel, he wipes his face. Until the end of the service, nobody touches anything in the church. That's how Christians are. Once you have baby Christians in your church, you will not have a lot of support. You don't have a lot of people helping in the work of the ministry and in making sure that the service runs well. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And therefore, you have to understand, you should not be offended. You should not be put off by people's behavior in church, because people grow. People must grow. People must start from a point and they must grow. They must grow. People must grow. So you have to give people the chance. You have to give people the permission. You have to give room. That's what the Bible says, that patience, that we have need of patience. We have need of patience. James chapter 5 verse 7 says something. He says that, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And behold the husbandman. Bible says he has patience for the precious fruit of the earth, until he receives the early and the latter rain. If you're going to be a pastor, you have to be very, very, very patient with church members. And so those that are outside the church and those who are inside the church, many people don't understand. You don't understand why a Christian can behave in a certain way. You don't understand how a Christian can sin, how a Christian can fall. It is because when you are saved, you are a newborn baby and you must grow. So your ability to overcome your weakness, your ability to become victorious, your ability to become a mature Christian and a better Christian depends on your Christian race, your Christian growth. Remember, read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. That's Sunday school. It's still the same. Anytime, any day, anywhere. And therefore, after you are saved, your body is still the same. Your body will feel the things that it was feeling when you were not a Christian. You still feel like fornicating. You still feel like having sex. You still feel like eating when you are supposed to fast. I mean, I know sometimes when we are fasting in our church, and many people, you know, it's amazing. Many people say, is it Bishop, I can't fast. You know, when I by 9 o'clock, I have to drink my tea. I got to drink tea. Eat my big bread, or my bag of tennis roll, Bakewell's tennis roll, Graham's tennis roll. Many people can't fast. Why? Because their bodies are still the same. Their bodies are still the same. The spirit is new. And therefore, what you must do is that you have to keep your body under control. You see, that the guy who is called body, if you don't keep body under control, body will disappoint you. You see, the guy who is working with you in this world called body, I tell you, if you give your body the permission, if you give your body the chance, if you give your body what he wants, body is tired. In the night, it is natural for the body to sleep. And therefore, in this part of the world where we live in South America and the Caribbean, many Christians can't pray all night. If you say, let's do all night, people are saying, what? I mean, so many people ask us when we go to church and we pray all night. Many people ask, is what you doing in the church all night like that? What are you doing in the church? Why all night? You going to church at this time? At this time of the night? It's amazing because people can't keep their bodies under control. Their bodies control them. So it's like when it's 9 o'clock, I have to go and sleep. When it's 10 o'clock, I like my bed. But you have to come to the point where, as a Christian, you have to tell your body, body, today, Friday night, we are staying awake. Tell your eyes, drink coffee, drink XL, or whatever alphabet you can drink, drink it. And keep your body under control to serve God. Let me tell you, when you get saved, your body is still the same. When you go to the altar, you give your life to Christ, it's your spirit that changes. Your body is still the same. Hallelujah. Now tonight, the last and the seventh principle that we are looking at is that after you are born again, your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. You must learn to think on the right things. After you're born again, your mind is still open. Many people think that when you get saved, your mind is closed. Your mind is closed to alcohol. Your mind is closed to smoking. Your mind is closed to girls. Your mind is closed to boys. No, no, no. After you are born again, your mind remains open to all kinds of thoughts. You must learn to think on the right things. After you are born again, your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. You must learn to think on the right things. It's something you learn. You get it? Your mind will not automatically change. That now, as you become a Christian, and all you think about is God, is the Holy Spirit. Oh, shakabara bandere bidabara. I mean, you are so holy all the time. It's not like that. Your mind is open to your former boyfriend. Your mind is open to your former girlfriend. Your mind is open to, you know, the club. Is it club 704? All those clubs. I mean, we thank God that the coronavirus has closed all the clubs. I tell you, some of you, God has really saved you. You have been clubbing all these months. You know, you're in your house. Coronavirus has kept in your house. Club in your house. Let's see now. You get it. Your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. Let me just drink a Guinness. Let me drink beer. You know, sometimes as Christians, you know, you see Mackeson, you know, you see Stag, you see 592. You know, these are all Guyanese derivatives of Stag beer. You know, I mean, it's amazing. you see beer and they advertise on the TV. They say, well, a case for 1,000 Guyanese dollars, which is $5. Man, 6 bottles of Heineken, 6 bottles of Stag is for 1,000 Guyanese dollars. Man, I mean, it's cheap. Your mind comes on it. Your mind comes on it. You know, sometimes your contacts. And that's why Bishop Dagos, you know, one of the camps, you were saying that you have to change some numbers to don't answer one, don't answer two, don't answer three. Because sometimes they will call you. Sometimes they will message you. Sometimes they will peep you. They will spy you. Your mind is open to giving people a chance. You break up with your boyfriend, and then he comes and he says, "Oh, babes, you know, babes, I love you. You know, all them fancy curlies that your boyfriend could talk and all of that. Come and all kinds of things." Your mind is still open. Your mind is not closed when you get saved. You now must learn. It's like you have to look at your mind as a vehicle that you steer in a certain direction. You steer the vehicle. It's like your mind is going this way. No, and you have to turn right. So you have to take your mind and turn right with your mind. You can allow your mind to be very, very open to all kinds of things. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, this is what Apostle Paul writes. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. Your mind will be open to things that are not true. You have to control it. You see, and that is why, even in this world, the social media and even the press, they control so many people because they appeal to the mind. The mind is still open. And all these news brought, you know, these news agencies, all these newspapers that are in the country, of those, they are all trying to make us, that door that is open in our mind, they are trying to make us listen to them. You have to remember, if tomorrow you read Culture News, or you read the Guyana Chronicle, or you read Guyana Times, you have to remember that what they are writing in is what they want you to believe. Most of the things they write are their own opinion. That is why the Bible is one of the greatest books you can ever focus in reading. Every newspaper, every news channel, all the news you know about, CNN, all these things that are around, everybody wants you to hear them from their perspective. The only perspective that is true is God's perspective. Can I have an amen? The only perspective that is genuine, that is loving, that is caring, that is purposeful is God's perspective. So the mind is very open to all the things surrounding us. I mean, you look at it, just as this, you know, this in this pandemic, the airline industry is trying to return, you know, very armed. Why? Some of the airlines are going to get aeroplanes with different seat arrangements now. So you won't sit 3 people in a row. You can't have 13A, 13B, and 13C. You're going to have maybe 13A, and then that's it. They are going to change their whole setup. Why? They want to appeal to us. They want us to believe so that you can, you know, you can fly. You can buy a ticket on this airline and you can give them your money. Everybody in this world into business and all these commercials and or everybody wants us to believe things from their point of view. And so as a Christian, your mind is still open and you have to learn to know the things that are true. Just only open your minds to the things that are true. You have to always be careful what you hear. Jesus said it. Be careful of what you hear. And so whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. I mean, there are some things that are not honest. I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. I mean, you look at it. We live in a country like Guyana. We voted since the 2nd of March. The 2nd of March, we voted. Look at today. What is today's date even? Today's date is what? Today is the 12th of May, 2nd March, 2nd April, 2nd May. And we can't declare a president. Guyana doesn't have a government, official government. It's not honest. It's not honest. So whether you support A or you support B or you support C, I mean, honesty is honesty. This is not a state you want to put a country into. And so when you're a Christian, you have to be careful what you hear. And I see many Christians, they are either with the PPP or they are with the APNU. They're all kinds of people, except Jesus, except the scripture, except the church. Their support is so clear. They are so biased and so paranoid. And it's amazing how people are not very honest. And even in people that they support. I mean, I can support you, I can love you. But when you are wrong, you are wrong. When you are right, you are right. It's as simple as that. The Bible says that open your mind to things that are honest. And you become saved. Your mind is open to all kinds of things. Don't let your color blind your mind. Don't let your race blind your mind. What is true is true. What is honest. What is a lie, it's a lie. Whatsoever things are just. Hey, whatsoever things that are just. I mean, I have experiences. It amazes me. In the church that I pastor, you know, sometimes, and even my experience in Guyana, one of the things I've experienced in Guyana is about parents and their children in Guyana. I mean, many parents do not agree that their children are wrong. I mean, if a parent can go to a secondary school and beat a teacher, I mean, hey, please, whatsoever things that are just, I mean, no matter who you are, I mean, just is just. You have to be just. I mean, it's completely wrong that even a parent can be allowed in a school compound to even be able to have access to a teacher and even physically assault the teacher. And you have to, it's just to say what you have to say about that. It's not right. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Pure things. Lovely things. Man, pure things. Your mind will be open to impure things. There are so many impure things around. You know, these days, every advertisement has something about it. If you watch TV, I mean, I don't know where you're watching from and your part of the world, what kind of commercials you have there. But I don't remember the last time I watched a TV in this beautiful country. But sometimes when you're watching a program, oh Lord God, the impure things that they'll push in during the commercial break is fantastic. I mean, you can't even watch TV with your child because the waist turning, the whining, the profanity, the immorality that is portrayed for a small movie that you are watching, the little 1 minute, 30 second break that some sponsor gets to promote his product, the impure things they push out there, it's amazing. It's totally amazing. Because whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Hey, good report. Bible says a good name. Good name is better than rubies. A good name? Some of you are Christians, you don't care about a good name. You must want to maintain your good name. And because of good name, you have to know how to move. And many people and many Christians and even many pastors don't even know how to move. Their names are spoiled in this system. There are some pastors, if you mention their name, it means something. It means something. I mean, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not unrighteousness' sake. So whatever things are of good report, people are not people. Oh. People are not people. So as you're moving around as a Christian, as a church leader, as a church worker, as a pastor, as an elder, as a bishop, as a pope, as a cardinal, as a, whatever you are, you have to make sure that a good report is something that you strive for. That's what the scripture says. You can't say, me, I don't care. I support this thing and I will say it clearly. No. The scripture actually tells us that what you're doing is not something of a good report. We know it. And it's not judging. It's what the scripture says. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You have to take your mind and think on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, think on those things. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, there's a saying that, you see, your mind is a battleground. After you are born again, I'm just explaining the seventh principle of salvation. After you are born again, your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. You must learn to think on the right things. Think on the right things. You see, you can allow a bird can fly, or a bird can even land on your head. But you cannot allow, and you should not allow the bird to build its nest. What I'm saying that on your head or in your mind, what I'm saying is that there are things you can hear. There are things that you will hear. I mean, we live in this world. Sometimes if you sit in a minibuses, some of the songs they play and some of the things you hear, it's amazing. You get it. But you when you hear things, you should not let them stay. It's like when somebody's knocking on your door. You have the right to open the door, let a person come in, or let a person stay out. That's how the mind is like. And so there are thoughts that will run through your mind. The devil will bring thoughts and all of that. But you have to be careful how you allow thoughts. You shouldn't not allow thoughts. One of the common things that the devil works with is suggestion. Somebody says suggestion. Now, your mind is a battleground. Satan's most powerful tool is suggestion. Be careful of suggestions. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have your Bible, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Or we say war. Is it? Guyanese, we do not war. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen to this one here. Verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down, number one, imaginations. Imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against knowledge, the knowledge of God. Number two, and bringing into captivity every thought. Number three, to the obedience of Christ. You see, the Bible says that our weapons are not AK-47. Our weapons are not bazookas. Our weapons are not grenades. Our weapons are not bombs. But they are mighty. They are mighty. If you know of any weapon that is mighty, I can tell you the weapons of our warfare as Christians are mighty. They are too mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds that are strong. Now, it is very amazing what the Bible says here. What the strongholds are. I mean, many of us Christians, if we are fighting, when we say strongholds, if we say we are engaged in spiritual warfare, we think about some witch, we think about some wizard, we think about some voodoo or some juju or something out there. But listen to what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says that the strongholds are imaginations. Hey, people can imagine things. People can imagine things. Sometimes your imaginations actually even becomes your downfall. Because you imagine yourself in a place, you imagine yourself in a certain state, and then you look at your current state, and then it doesn't match, your current state doesn't match your imaginative state. Then the devil takes hold of you. They look at you. You are nothing. You are nobody. You can't be anything. You can't go for it. You can't do well. It's because your imaginative picture is what the devil is using against your current picture. And if you don't bring in what you have to bring in and pull down that stronghold, the devil control that part of your mind, open your mind to imaginations. Many people imagine themselves married when they are not married. Many people imagine themselves having a good life when they don't have a good life. And the imagination of having a good life and not having a good life is your downfall. Imaginations. So the weapons of our warfare that Christians are using, fighting in the night, prayer and fasting, it is, the Bible says, it is against imaginations. Things people imagine. People can imagine wild things. It's fantastical. It is imagination that some people use to even kill people. I mean, some of the news that we've heard in the past years and all of that, how people can kill people, how people can take a cutlass and chop people down. I mean, how can you imagine something like that? So the mind, when the mind is open to ideas and to things that are not pure, things that are not true, these are the things that happen. And therefore, the weapons of our warfare, the weapons in Christianity, what we use to fight in Christianity is to fight imaginations. It tells you how powerful imaginations are. It tells you how strong imaginations are. It tells you how great imaginations are. Bible says, such as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think is also equal to the way you are. And the Bible says, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Is that not what we are facing in this world? The knowledge of God. People say there's no God. Those who say there's God also don't really go deep into finding out who God is and how God behaves and how God is like. And so there's again the weapon the devil is using against Christians and people in this world about the knowledge of God. So imagination is what our weapons are supposed to fight. And then the knowledge of God. Those who are Hindu says they are serving the true God. Those that are Muslim says they are serving the true God. Especially if you live in Guyana, everybody says their God is a real God. And all of us, many people also believe it. So, I don't want to disrespect or I don't want to judge somebody and all of that. It is the knowledge of God, your knowledge of God, is also another attack. It is something also that the devil uses to pull you down and to keep you under. Because many people think they know God, but they don't. If you know God, your life would have been very, very different. If the God of heaven is the God you serve, your life would have changed by now. If the God you have in your house that you bow down to and you offer sacrifices to, if that is the God of heaven, your life would have been better by now. I tell you, people go around and say all kinds of things. The knowledge of God is in the mind. After you are born again, your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. Many people don't believe in tithing. Many people don't believe in tithing. Many people don't even believe in giving offering. Even giving high, big offerings. It's fantastic. The type of things people think about when they are in the church. It's amazing. It's amazing. So imaginations. The knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Are you listening? Every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought. Hey! It's like the battle is to be able to bring thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Many people are disobedient. We live in an age of disobedience. People don't do what God tells them to do. People don't want to hear God. People don't want to listen to God. I have a young lady who is doing dumb broadcast this pandemic season. And then people come out of their homes and tell her she's mad. She's mad. Are you mad? They call her crazy woman. She's preaching. She's preaching. She's preaching. Can you believe it? At least if somebody's preaching and your mind works well, would you not encourage such a person? Would you not say, God bless you and clap for such a person? But you see, the thoughts that people have are not in obedience to Christ. It is in disobedience. People say all kinds of things why people shouldn't go to church. People say all kinds of things why pastors shouldn't even ask people to give offering. All kinds of pastors are one of the most criticized, lambasted, insulted people on planet. And this planet called Earth. People say all kinds of things about pastors. Because what is the battle? What is our weapon against? our weapon is against the thoughts of people, the imaginations of people, the knowledge, the high things that exalt itself above the knowledge of God. This is where the battle is at. If people's minds were to be subject to God and to his word, many of the things that Christianity goes through and this world goes through will not have happened. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, not in fighting obia people, strongholds in the mind. And so thoughts, suggestions, imaginations, the knowledge of God, your mind being subject to the obedience of Christ, very, 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 very critical. Are you with me? Now, I remember many years ago, I was involved in a certain deliverance all the way back in Ghana, West Africa. I was, as a baby Christian, I think I was about six months old in the Lord. It's all the way in the 1980s. So I witnessed a deliverance where some creatures and some very scary monsters, you know, manifested and all of that. Now I was a baby Christian, and I traveled from my town to another city for a particular business, and I encountered that, and I was part of that deliverance. When I went back to my city, we used to go to church. I was part of a very small fellowship in a classroom in the early 80s. You know, 80s, there was a rising up of small groups in classrooms in Ghana, those of you who got saved in those times. And so we used to meet in a classroom. We used to do all kinds of things, pray all night, all kinds of fantastic things. When we got saved, we were so happy, we were so blessed to be counted worthy, you know, to receive salvation. And, you know, so one of those things that I remember I went through when I got saved was that when I went to excuse me, I was just a little distracted. I came back from this deliverance. I came to my own city, and then we were trying to. We used to do all night, right? Used to do all night prayer, on everything, all night. And because of what I had been through, the experience I'd been through the deliverance and the creatures I had seen and the manifestations, whenever we finish, we close from service, and we are going home. We hang around church, and we leave around midnight, 1 a.m., and there are about four of us. We used to live in the same area. And so we climb a hill, and the first junction, or the first corner, like we say in Guyana, the first corner, the first brother will leave. The second junction, the next brother will leave. And then the third corner, the next brother will leave. And then I'll be the only one who continue up the hill, and then go on over the hill, down a valley, and to go into my house. Now, when I came back from this town, after I experienced that deliverance and seeing and experiencing these creatures, these great, very scary monsters, from the time I got back to my fellowship, I wasn't a fearful person. I wasn't a fearful person at all. But after that experience, when everybody leaves me and I'm walking home, then just in the middle of the night, 12, 1 a.m., then as I walk, I feel like there's somebody behind me. I don't know how many of you have experienced something like that before. That you're walking in the night in the dark, and then it's like somebody's behind you. There's nothing scary like that. And so anytime I'm going home, the first time I was going home, and then when everybody left me and I was going, I felt like there was somebody following me. So I looked around, and there was nobody. And I took a few steps. I looked around again, and there was still nobody. And I started becoming afraid. So I started, you know, increasing my steps, you know. Then at a point, I started running. And then it's like, there's somebody following you. And actually, there's nobody following you. I mean, the spirit of fear came over me. That the next time when I went to fellowship, I had to go on my knees for the leader of our fellowship to pray for me. Because it's like, now I can't go home by myself. And many of you are like that. You can't even sleep with the lights off. Imaginations, thoughts, suggestions. You're alone. You're going through some darkness. And I don't like horror movies. I don't like horror movies. You know why I don't like horror movies? Dracula. Those days it was Dracula. I don't like horror movies because these Hollywood people, they play with people's emotions. Fear is a spirit. You see, those of you who have watched horror movies before, you will testify that, you know, when the guy, let's say if you watch a movie with a serial killer, he's been killing people, and then he's going for his next victim. And you see this young lady who just jumped off the bus. You know, maybe she's coming from lectures or she's coming from work. And then she's going through this alleyway. You know, he's going through this alley. And then the place is dark. And then these Hollywood guys, these directors and producers, they play a certain song. And then you know that the serial killer killed 5 people before. And he's waiting for this young lady. I mean, you are sitting in your chair at home watching this movie, and you yourself, you are afraid. I don't like people, these Hollywood producers and directors, to play with my emotions. I don't watch horror movies. If I see anything that's horror, what I do, I say, get out of here. We know what you're doing. There are cameras around. You're just trying to play with people's emotions. But meanwhile, some of these things actually instill fear in people. It makes them not be able to walk through the dark. You get it? And this is what happens. So your mind must not be open to certain kind of thoughts, because it will cripple you. Now, how do we fight this? How do we fight this? Let me give you one or two things and then we'll close. One of the best ways to control your thoughts is to listen to preaching. One of the best ways to control your thoughts is to listen to preaching. Many of you out there don't listen to preaching. You listen to too many junk, garbage, things that don't edify. You listen too much to the radio, FM, all kinds of things that people say about a country, about elections, about politics, about this, about that. All kinds of things that don't edify. Some of these people on radio and TV and all of that, they bring things up as if it helps life. No. The best way to control your thoughts is to listen to preaching. I recommend it to you. You know, get your phone. If you have a phone or you have a tablet or something, most of the time, all of us have phones. Make sure that if you have data, or just download some preaching on your phone. Or if you don't have data, when you go into a Wi-Fi zone, download some gospel music, some preaching, and then put on some earphones. So when you're in the bus, when you're in the minibus, you're in the taxi, you are out there, create your own atmosphere. People on FM, they want to affect and influence your life, and they are not God. Whereas God and preaching and his word is being articulated by so many wonderful preachers. One of my best preachers is Doug Ewart Mills. Best preachers, one best messages, it's Bishop Doug Ewart Mills. And I want to recommend such type of messages to you. So you can control your thoughts by listening to preaching tapes. It will help you. When you go out, if you don't want to be affected by the environment, make sure your ears are plugged. It's also very good to, you know, listen to gospel music. You see, there are gospel music and there are gospel music. Okay, there are some gospel music that don't edify. And some gospel music that don't actually do anything for you. Some of the gospel music that we have around here, it's abaja, 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 abaja. It's just noisy. Yeah, great gospel music. You know, Ida, if you know IdaLive.com, great gospel music. It's very powerful, very spiritual. You can, you know, go to that website. So many great songs that you can download. And therefore, controlling your thoughts definitely comes by opening your mind to preaching messages. One of the things the Bible tells us is that neither give place to the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. The Bible said, neither give place to the devil. And so make sure that you don't find yourself in an environment, you don't open yourself to things. Some of the FMs that are in some of our countries, some of the TVs and the programs and the channels, they don't edify. Be careful. Be careful. Tommy Walker is also one of the nice gospel singers, like I'm being told right now. You get it. So make sure that after you are born again, your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. You must learn to think on the right things. I'll be with you again next week on the green side. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the seven great principles of salvation. Thank you for speaking to us. I pray for everyone who tuned in, who's watching, who's even going to watch after this service is over. Now, Lord, you indeed minister to their minds, to their hearts, to their souls, and to their spirits. I pray that these words, oh God, fall on grounds that are fertile, whether it's now, whether it's before, or whether it's after. May these words repeat in the minds and the hearts of your people. I pray for your people. I ask, oh God, the Lord, you watch over them in this pandemic and this crisis. You are indeed our shepherd, and I declare that we shall not want. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this wonderful fellowship. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.